She is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at a simple thought here and be as swift as we can. But don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't do anything to quench the Spirit of God. And the Bible says this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud. And all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You see what he's talking about? The children of Israel. Way back under the leadership of Moses. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Capital R-O-C-K. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Are you listening? I mean, boy, it's just amazing how sobering this gets, how quick. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. And we said Wednesday night that those evil things falls under the category of statutes in the Bible. Not the commandments. All that stuff. But the statutes, those in-betweeners, that reading between the lines that, you know, God don't say thou shalt not gamble, but, you know, the statutes of the Lord are very plain. You shouldn't take your money that God gives you and gamble with it. Amen. And I know around here in our church, we don't have too much of a problem with that. But in Davie County, you try to tell them suckers to quit turkey shooting. And you'll have a fight on your hand. But anyhow, that ain't what we'll look at. He said that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Don't do what they did. Don't desire what they desired. Don't lust after the things they lusted after. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That sounds like America. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000 in one day. Amazing, isn't it? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. And were destroyed of serpents. Isn't that something? God sent them serpents and they started biting them. Oh, help me, Jesus, not to have to go through that. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. Well, that'll help you. God's covered it all. Quit complaining. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for our examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. What I see here, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that you see it when I get in a little bit further, but I'm just looking at what happens when God gives you what you want. When God lets you have your way, okay? When I read 1 Corinthians, it takes me all the way back to the children of Israel over into the wilderness, and I'm seeing what takes place in a person's life when God lets them have what they want. Because I got news for you. God will let you have your own desires. And the Bible says, and we've said it for several weeks now, that he does search the hearts and tries the reins, and he gives every man according to his ways. And God will let you have what you want. If you buck up against God long enough, he'll let you have the life that you want to have. And boy, I'll tell you what, let me say this in saying that. God's ways is much better than our ways. I tell you, it's just better to go with what God wants rather than what you and I want, right? Rebelling and bucking up against God. I see also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that nobody is above falling. Nobody. Bible says, let him that think of these things take heed lest he fall. And boy, we've got a prideful nation today that thinks that they can stand without a holy God. And I promise you, God said, take heed to that lest you fall. Don't be like that. They thought they were above falling. They thought that they'd done arrived, ladies and gentlemen, that they were somebody at this point. And God said, you better take heed if you start feeling like that. We understand that one of the prime examples, I mean, think about this, you and I. Thinking that we're doing okay. And a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, I preach that message on standing on your knees. A lot of times in your life, now listen, a lot of times there's areas in your life that you face temptations, and we already preached this, where you face temptations, and there's things in your life that you've conquered, you've overcome, and you do good in those areas, and God's given you grace, and you've pretty much got them lit. And it doesn't seem like those areas seem to bother you on a daily basis, but yet there's other little things in your life that just continuously nips at you and continuously eats at you and continuously beckons your name and calls you and wants to allure you, and it's lust that continuously tries to draw. And we constantly are giving our attention to these little things or these big things, whatever you want to call them, and we're kind of neglecting those things that we've conquered and those things that we've overcome. And in that, Miss Stephanie, when we start paying a lot of attention to these things and praying about that and neglecting those things because we think we're okay, those are the very areas that we tend to fall. I've often thought this many, many times. I've heard preachers blow out living in adultery for so long, and I've seen them slip up and fall into adultery, and I thought, maybe they didn't have so much of a problem with the adultery. But the Bible says, take heed lest you fall where you think you stand. I think many cases they had that conquered. In many cases that was not a big issue. In many cases that was able to be put in the back burner and neglected. And the next thing you know, the devil had them caught up in it. And the flesh. Because they didn't pray much about that. So we can see that nobody's above falling. And we understand that there was an angel. One of the greatest angels in all of heaven is a prime example of this. Satan himself, Lucifer, was the angel of the Lord. And it seemed like that he began to think that he was somebody. He began to think that, man, he had this thing licked. His heart was risen with pride. And, man, he got to thinking that he could be above God. And that, you know what happened? He fell. Where he thought he was standing. When he thought that he was doing something. When he thought he could be somebody. God, and I hate to twist the scriptures, but my old terminology, God dropped, kicked that sucker out of heaven, and he fell like lightning from the sky. Thank God. I like it. I like reading it where it talks about Lucifer falling as lightning from the sky. I like that. I like to think about the power and the authority of God Almighty. But we can see the example of the devil himself, Lucifer, how he was lifted up with pride, and he fell. In the very area he thought he was so strong in. You better mark it down. Just as he fell, so can you and I fall. May I remind us today that if we stand, we stand only by the grace of God. And I think if I got anything to say to you today, I want you to understand that some of y'all's been seeking after God for a pretty good while. Don't take it lightly. Don't back up. Don't get lackadaisious. Don't just be nonchalant. Don't fall into a rut of seeking after God. Don't fall into this same old mode of following after or seeking after God, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Look, let me say something to you. Stay in that prayer closet. Stay in that word. Keep that fervency. Keep that thing real. Keep it fresh. Stay on track, thank God. Keep your trail hot. Because just like these people, I'll be honest with you, maybe we can hurry through this and see where they grew stagnant on following after God. Not one of us is a self-made anything. Huh? We can't stand on our own. I don't care whether you've got a dollar or whether you got $1 million. It's the same God that reigns over both, and whatever you have is only because of the grace of God. Man, everything we've got is because of Him. We understand that these written examples are for us. They're about Israel, how they failed God many times. Even God himself made the statement that these 10 times have you tempted me. Isn't it amazing what all God did for these people? and how they tempted God over and over, and God even looked at them and said, 10 times now you've tempted me. It's amazing. I don't know if we understand the heaviness or the weight that carries. It was a time and time again that they put God in a position or a place where he was left only to bring chastisement and judgment upon them. He had no other alternative. He had nowhere else to go. I mean, they put God in a position where God either had to judge them or just beat them half to death. Put them in some kind of a captivity. Let them go into Babylon. Let them be somebody's slave. God had to do that to bring these people back to a place where they looked unto him, where they trusted in him. Look at what all I've done for you. And you're going to tempt me? I'll teach you to tempt me. I'll show you what I can do. Somehow the devil's convinced us, the world's convinced us, and self has convinced us that we can live any old way we want to. We can run our mouths as we please. Isn't it amazing that you can just say whatever you want to? Isn't it amazing that there's no refrain from saying anything that you want to say? So listen, folks, listen. Don't sit up in here pious and religious with your halo shining and your Bible in your lap. For God's sake, think about yourself. Think about that time when that person just made you mad the other day. I mean, how Christian was you when you got real good and ticked off, huh? Did you have the liberty just to say whatever you wanted to do? Well, was able just to give them a piece of your mind. I'm so good at that, it's pathetic. Oh, I'm so good at setting people straight. God, help us. I've given away so much piece of my mind, I ain't got much left. I'll be honest with you. Isn't it amazing that you can say what you want to? Let me tell you something. You can't say what you want to. You might think you get by with that. But there's a God in heaven that hears what you're saying. And there's a God in heaven that says, you know what, I've loved you and I've been good to you. And you just feel like you can say any old thing. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you're going to be chastened of the Lord. You can't just get by with living any old way. My goodness gracious. Whew. Run our mouths, we can live in gross sins and never expect God to say or do anything about it. We're living in a generation of preachers today that tell everybody how good they are and pat yourself on the back and give yourself a hand. And for God in heaven's sakes, man, I don't need nobody to give me a hand. I need to repent.
Yeah.
I need to get rid of some junk in my life. You hear me? I'm not depressed. I'm not a doomsday. I'm a happy dude. But I'll tell you one thing. I know who I am. That's right, buddy. I know who I am. And I tell you, thank God for Jesus Christ. I can have a smile on my face and joy in my heart. Well, pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a hand. And I'm all for, you know, boosting somebody up every once in a while and helping them out and encouraging them. Whether I like it or not, it tells me that there's something that used to bother me. Something used to bother me a lot. Is that people that would say they were saved and lived any old way they wanted to. That used to bother me. That used to about drive me crazy to see people live like the world, fulfill all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and they just skate right on through life, and you say anything to them, and they start telling you about the love of God, and you know, man, there's liberty. Listen, that's lasciviousness. That's not liberty. Turning the grace of God into a license to sin. You know what? I quit letting that junk bother me, Eric. You know why? Because here's what God said. If you can live like that and not be chasing, then you're a bastard and not a son. That quit bothering me when that thing donged on me. I don't give a flip what comes out of your mouth. I couldn't care less. You can promise me unto God until you turn blue in the face and drop dead. But if you live any old way you want to, if you can get by with saying what you want to, if you can live in sin and God don't chasing you, friend, you're a bastard and not a son. That's it. Simple. They're lost. You say, what's wrong, preacher? They believe it. Yeah, they've been deceived. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Above all, who can know it? Only God can reveal that. That's why we say flesh and blood can't reveal that to you. The Father which is in heaven has to reveal that to us. Amen. Well, whether I like it or not, it tells me that a person is a bastard and not a child of God. But, you know, I wish everybody was a child of God. I wish everybody knew Jesus. But the sad truth is, there ain't. Here's what your Bible say. Few there be that enter therein. Few there be that enter therein. I tell you, there's a lot more people that's claiming it than actually have it. That's right. There's a lot more people professing it than they are possessing it. That's right. And I hate that, friend. That's not something I rejoice in. I wish everybody possessed it. I wish everybody had that relationship with God's Son. Look with me, if you will, please. Spent way too much time there. In Psalm 78. Psalms chapter 78. We'll stay right here for a minute. Just on this thought, what happens when God gives you your way? God give these people their way, by the way. He let these people have what they wanted. Psalm 78, let's start reading in verse 12. Marvelous things did he, God, in the sight of their fathers, the children of Israel. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. Ladies and gentlemen, he did. Think about this. Think about what all the children of Israel got to see. We don't have time to stop and think about it in full, but I'm telling you, it's pretty amazing at what them people saw with their own eyes. It's pretty amazing. I mean, if you go all the way back down there, man, and I mean, you go back down there to Joseph, and when Joseph died, and how the Pharaohs changed, and then, man, they started going, well, you know what, them Israelites, they're starting to outnumber us, and if we got into a war one day, they could actually turn against us, and, man, there's so many of them, we really wouldn't stand a chance, and I tell you what we better do, we better get them under our thumb, and we better start controlling them, or they might control us one of these days. And they went into slavery down in the land of Egypt under those circumstances. And they went into that slavery, and what was it, 400 years that they were enslaved down there? And man, while they were down there in that slavery, God raised up that wonderful man of God, Moses, and told Moses, said, Moses, I want you to go down there and see Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And he began to tell Moses all these things that was going to happen. And Moses started walking off to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God said, let my people go. God said, hey, Moses, before you go, stop. I'm going to harden his heart, and he's not going to let our people go. Most of them, no questions. Okay, Lord. He went down there and said, hey, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And I'm telling you, Pharaoh's heart was hardened just like God said it would be. Listen, folks, God began to send those plagues that he was promising. If you go down there and read it, study it, you'll see that those Israelites were pushed off over there in another little corner somewhere. And all the Egyptians lived over here. And they was having to be their slaves. And man, they had to go back over there to the slave quarters at night and live and dwell. But when those plagues come and God calls darkness to come across the land, guess what? All of Egypt was dark. Whether it be because the grasshoppers were so thick that you couldn't see the light of day and it was pitch black dark, or the lights just completely went out, the sun didn't shine, whatever the cause might be. When you look over at that little, was it Gershon? Was that it? Was that where that's at? Look over there in the slave quarters, there was lights. And the Israelites, they were sitting there and everybody was going along life as normal. And they looked over there in Egypt and it was pitch black dark and nobody could see their way. Man, the next thing you know, they're growing nice, beautiful crops over there, had them some grass growing, and them grasshoppers came, and they devoured the land of the Egyptians. But yet them Israelites sat there and went, man, our crops is better than they've ever been. I mean, we've got corn that's 7 foot tall. You wouldn't believe the ears that's growing on our corn. And them Egyptians sitting over there, everything was destroyed. Go down there to draw well water out of the well. And man, them Israelites, they was drinking fresh, crisp, clean water. I mean, quenching the thirst down in their old parched throats. And them Egyptians would go over there and get water. And everything that was over there was turned into blood. The fish began to die and stink in the rivers. And I mean, just a stench, the stink in the air. And everything, the frogs that came up out of the rivers that was up in their beds and everywhere just infested the land. The lice, the everything that took over. And them Israelites sitting over there just having the time of their life, enjoying life. But they're seeing all this.
My God, they getting in there to the nitty gritty of Pharaoh. The people said, my God, Pharaoh, let them people go. Man, we can't take anymore. We've lost our crops. We've lost our cattle. We've lost everything. Let them go. But you know what? Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the Bible says that the people of God, the death angel was going, listen to me, the death angel was going to pass by, and Moses told them they had to go sacrifice a lamb and take the blood of that lamb, thank God, and apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel. And when that death angel passed and he saw the blood, then he would pass over them and leave their firstborn alone. Can't you see it, man? I'm telling you, they was in there eating on that lamb, had that blood applied. And we said in here one time, those that have the lamb on the inside are covered by the blood on the outside. Ain't that a blessing? The lamb on the inside and the blood on the outside. It's good. I can imagine those Israelites laying down there in the bed. Begin to hear them screams. I mean, imagine. Imagine that mama going, hey, Dad, sure is quiet over there tonight. That baby ain't making no kind of noise. It's not normal. That baby usually cries a lot at nighttime. We pellet so much, we spoilt it, whatever the cause might be. That baby's been colicky. That baby's crying. But tonight, for some reason, that baby's quiet. Mama, you might better get up and check on that baby and go in there and find that baby dead. And that mama begins to scream out. In pain, brokenness, just that anguish of her heart and screaming out, oh God, my baby, my baby, my baby, my baby's dead. I mean, little by little, man, them screams begin to cry out and echo down through the corridors of Egypt, man, and the ears of them Israelites was listening as those mothers and those daddies was crying out as their babies was dying, and all the firstborn across Egypt was being taken. The Israelites saw that. Man, they was in there with their little babies safe and sound. Their kids survived. Man, can't you hear the noise abroad the streets as their mamas was went about mourning? And I mean, they were, oh God, my baby, and one after another. And all them Israelites going, man, my babies are fine. And I mean, they're seeing, oh God, this is the move of God. This is what the man of God said. If we'll apply the blood to the doorpost and little, the death angel won't bother us. And they're seeing the miracle of God in their own family. Finally, Pharaoh said, you know what? Moses, get them out of here. Get them people and get out of here. They went down there and stood at that Red Sea, ladies and gentlemen, and everything that they've just saw, everything up to this point. They're standing there at the Red Sea. And old Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and them Egyptian army was coming after them. And them crazy Israelites sat there and went, what have you done now? Have you brought us out here so that they can have us in one spot to kill us? Here they come, Moses. They're going to kill us. They began to tempt God there at the Red Sea. I love what the man of God said. He said, stand still. Amen. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want you to watch this, boys. And he took that staff and he smote that ground. And thank God, God parted them waters of that Red Sea. And I mean, it was dusty, friend. He dried it up and they went across on dry ground. And I don't care how the scientists try to translate that. That's exactly how it happened. Yeah. They passed by, thank God, and there was a big old wall of water on this hand, and there was a big old body of a wall of water on this hand, and there they went through that thing like it was a tunnel, and that ground was dry. And when they got over on the other side, God had that Egyptian army in that Red Sea, and he let them walls collapse, and they were to say drowned in the Red Sea. Hey, man. And there they sit and watch every bit of it. Amen. And here they are, brought out of Egypt, standing over there on new grounds. Same God. Everything. Can you imagine? Got your baby, your firstborn. Man, they went over there and borrowed all that stuff from them Egyptians, all that gold, all them nice pots and pans. All them valuables. And there they stand, the children of Israel, while Egypt's drowned in the Red Sea. What a God. What a wonderful Savior. Let's look and see what they had to say.
Psalm 78 said, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Verse 14, in the daytime he also led them with a cloud. And all the night with a light of fire. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine the heat? No need trying to dramatize it. It's treacherous over there in the daytime. Going through that wilderness place. They had a spring of water nowhere to be found. The sun scorching down on you. And God sends in a cloud. I said, you know what? Y'all don't know where to go. Everything looks the same. I mean sand everywhere you look. Desert everywhere you look. Wilderness everywhere you look. Guess what? I'm going to put a cloud up there above you. Keep you cool. And wherever that cloud goes, y'all just follow that cloud. Stay in the shadow of the Almighty. Man, I'm telling you, down there at nighttime, he got so cold. That sun was gone. Them temperatures reached down. Instead of them, people began to shiver. God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a pillar of fire. Hey, listen, in the nighttime when it's dark and you can't find your way, I'm going to give you a light in a darkened, desolate place. Yeah. I'm going to give you something that'll keep you warm, that'll help you find your way in the dark. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen. All this is typifying what God's done for us. You know what I think about Eric? That's some pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. And yet these people said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You realize them people said, we're sick and tired of what God's feeding us. We want something better. We're sick and tired of doing this thing God's way. Take heed lest you fall. We're sick and tired of doing this thing the way God wants us to do it. You know what I think, ladies and gentlemen? In the pursuit of God, are you listening? That's another way of saying, and you seeking after God, saved or lost, I think you can get tired of it. I think you can grow weary. I think you can just go, man, there's got to be a better way. But you know what I understand, honey? These people never one time seen Calvary. They seen the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, yes, sir. But they never seen Jesus in a manger. They never seen the Word become flesh, made flesh, and dwell among them. Not like that. They had a physical body, the living Christ, God in the flesh, walking, talking, breathing, living with them, dwelling with them, fellowshipping with them, sitting down to eat with them. These people never did get to see the living Christ on earth take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiply and feed 5,000 plus on. Never seen that. They never seen Jesus out on that raging sea. Them winds and tempest winds, had them waves coming up over that ship. And Jesus standing out there saying, peace be still. And them waves laid down at his feet. They never seen him when he got off that boat and that maniac of Gadara come running up. And Jesus looked at him and cast out them devils and made that demonic man spiritual and holy and whole. Never did they see that. They never seen that woman that was of ill repute was sitting at that well. They never seen God dig down in that horrible pit and bring that woman out of that horrible pit and save her soul at the well. They never seen that man land by the pool of Bethesda. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I've seen it. You've seen it. They've never seen Calvary. I don't care what the preachers say. They've never seen Calvary. I told y'all a couple months ago, I've been to Calvary. I've never left the town to go to Calvary. You hear me? I never had to go to Israel. I didn't have to go to Golgotha. I never had to go to any of those foreign lands. But I've been to Calvary. You understand? Thank God I've got to stand at the foot of the cross. And I've got to stand in the tomb of Jesus. And man, I've got to come out the other side victorious in Christ. Amen. Never physically had to go to Golgotha. Thank God I've been to Calvary. You say, preacher, that ain't the same. Let me tell you something. Flesh and blood, it's not the same. But when the Father, when that Holy Ghost gets a hold of your soul and stands you at Calvary, it's as real as the flesh on your bones. I can promise you that. Amen.
I'm telling you, church, you say, preacher, what are you saying? There's one person here today, Eric, that was at Calvary, and he's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was at Calvary. No, I wasn't there. No, you wasn't there. But I'll promise you one thing. The same person there, he knows Calvary up one side and down the other. He knows every detail. He knows every crack. He knows every crevice. He knows where every blood drop went. He knows where every hair was pulled. He knows every piercing of the skull. He knows every lash that went in the back. He was there. He seen it. He was part of it. He witnessed that. And when he sat in my lap, thank God, one night, he made every bit of that real to me. Made it so real, Miss Stephanie. It's just like this. I'm crucified with Christ. Boy, it wasn't just Paul that said that. I'd come out of them woods. Glory to God, in Louisville, North Carolina, and I didn't have a clue. But I went back now and I come out of them woods up there that night, and I was able to say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Preacher, what are you talking about? I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I went through the tomb. Thank God he gave me life, and life more abundantly. I've been to Calvary. What are you talking about? I've been a lot more, had a lot more, and you have too, than all them Israelites put together. Huh? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Every man born, thank God, on this side of Calvary. The grace of God has been shown to every man on this side of Calvary. Every man that's born on this side of Calvary has been shown Calvary. Every man born on this side of Calvary has had a glimpse of Calvary. I haven't been there in the physical body, but I've been there, thank God, in my spirit and soul. I've been given a whole lot more than all these Israelites put together. Say, preacher, you're crazy. Am I? Miss Stephanie, it's almost as good as if I was there that night in Egypt when that death angel passed by. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God sits on them verses, ladies and gentlemen, and I can put myself there, man, I can almost feel the anguish and I can almost hear the screams. I can almost feel the suffering coming from those houses that's losing their babies. I can see the joy that's in the heart of those children of God that has obeyed the word of God and did what God said and did this thing God's way. I can see down deep and I can feel, you understand, I can experience what them people experienced. And the Spirit of God makes all that real to me. I've got all that God's done for me and them too. Everything that's in that book is all I'm trying to tell you, church. Everything that's in that book, God said it's written. There are our examples. It's written for our admonition. We just read that. Everything in there is for you and I. And I'm telling you, there's a person, thank God, that's walking across those pages that'll walk across the living room floor of your very own house. And he will reveal this stuff to you. And he'll make it known unto you. He'll make it real to you, thank God. And it'll be a part of you. And you can say, I've seen the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on his throne. Boy, I tell you, I sit in my living room sometimes, Steve, and I just, boy, just this week, I bowed my head and said, Lord, I'd sure like to see you sitting on your throne. I'd sure like to see your glory. I'd like to see your train fill the temple. I'd like to see you, Lord. And I'm telling you, the year that King Uzziah died, we had to die to our wicked self. We had to die to David. I had to die to my desires, my lust, all of my selfish wants, and I had to desire him above everything in this world. When King Uzziah died, we can see the Lord sitting on his throne. We can see his glory. We can have worship. I said, Lord, I sure would like to worship you. Huh? I'll tell you the best way to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't there when a little crooked, cheating, conniving, lying tax collector met that woman with the issue of blood. I wasn't there. Somehow Zacchaeus found out about Jesus. Somehow that little IRS crook found out about the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I just tend to think there was a blind Bartimaeus or something across him, or a woman with an issue, or some Samaritan woman, or some blind man, or some deaf man. I just have an idea that maybe some devil-possessed person. I just have an idea that somebody's daughter was raised from the dead. Zacchaeus got a witness and somebody testified. And he overheard somebody talking about what the Lord had done. And man, he heard that this man was coming by. And he said, I got to see this Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be spiritual. But very rare do I ever pass by a sycamore tree without something happening. I mean, man, I look at them sycamore trees, and there's something that happens on the inside of my soul. Because I go back to that place where God made that real to me. Well, that little fella climbed that sycamore tree. Said, the Lord's passing by, I gotta see him. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had everything in the world handed to us. Why would we want anything our way? Why wouldn't we just say, yes, Lord? Why would we want to tempt him? Why would we chase this old flesh? Why would we chase after the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Why would we do that and all the things that comes with it? Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I sit and I read, and I hope you can bear witness with this. And sometimes it's like dead letters. But when I read, and I read the other morning, and I'm telling you before God, I couldn't wait for the sun to come up and people to start getting out of bed. I'm telling you, it was so early that I couldn't talk to people. But when I sit down in the book of 1 Chronicles the other day and I got to reading Michael, I'm telling you, it was like I was sitting in that church over in Israel, and I was in one of the best services I've been in a long time. I'm telling you, Jesus walked through this book of 1 Chronicles with me the other morning. He came in there and sat with me, and it was dark in the morning. And I mean, man, it was early. My soul rejoiced, and God told me some things to help me to help others. And God showed me some faults in my life, and God showed me some errors in my way. Man, I was able to sit in there and confess and try to get a hold of God and repent of those things. Man, I'm telling you, God helped me. I had church, one of the best church services. And it was so good that I couldn't wait to get here this morning and read 1 Chronicles. It wasn't the same this morning, I'll promise you that. It wasn't the same as it was the other day. I sat down there the other day, it was like sitting in church with David. I mean, it was that real church. And I'm telling you, when that sun come up and people started getting up, I mean, as soon as I could, I got on that phone. I started texting some of my friends. I was going, man, let me tell you what the Lord done this morning. And I mean, we had church. We had church sitting in the living room, friend. Thank God, it's good. Can I claim an old line from Don Green about Jesus? Zach, you correct me if I don't say it just right. But I remember all my life Don Green making this statement about Jesus. He's everything he claims to be and more. Is that how he said it? I sit in that living room the other morning, ladies and gentlemen, and that was so real in my soul. And that thought cut my mind. Jesus is everything he claims to be and more. It's not just something that would come to church and hoop and put on a show and nice clothes and greet everybody. It's not just about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's a living Christ that, thank God, dwells on the inside of the soul of a man that will go home with you, and that'll go on the job with you, and he'll face your troubles with you. He'll go down through despair with you, and he'll bring you up out of a depression, and he'll just do all these wonderful things. And it's not just a congregation at church. It's more than just a quaint saying and cute words. It's a real human being, living God on the inside. It's the living Christ dwelling on the inside of a man. And I mean, he's just as real sitting in your living room when there ain't nobody around. You can be in a deer stand. You can be off in the midst of the sea. You can be anywhere in this world. And there's another person there called the living Christ. And he'll walk with you and talk with you. And he'll help you. And he'll fellowship with you. And he'll put a smile on your heart. He'll do everything that he's ever claimed to do. Dear friend,
Talks about being put in them concentration camps. And the sad truth is, I can see that coming. And I'm telling you, he'll be the same in a concentration camp that he is at the church. He'll do everything for you in that place that he'll do for you right here. He'll be just as real in the midst of your turmoil and your trouble, your dark days. He'll be more real to you than any time in your life. He's everything, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me well. These people here in Israel, they were unfaithful, but they never, ever had half of what we have. Nowhere near. I was thinking about my birthday the other day. Not my carnal one, but my spiritual one. I'm coming up on exactly 29 years of being born again. 29. And I was kind of looking forward, if I lived to be another year, it'd be 30 years. I kind of look forward to that 30-year anniversary of living for Jesus. Yeah. 30 years, 29 years ago, babe, I come out of them woods, a new creature in Christ. Come out of them woods, Eric passed from death unto life. I went in dead. I came out alive. It's amazing. 29 years ago. Steve, I'll never forget my walk with the Lord Jesus as a new believer. I'll never forget reaching in the top of my closet, baby, in them apartments up there, and pulling my suitcase out to move to another state. Why? Just to follow after the Lord. Man, I thought I'm going to Florida. It's going to be sunshine and beaches and coconuts. And I didn't know they invented snakes down there. And you had to walk around with your eyes shut because they come to church literally like, you know, naked. You have a dinner at one of them churches down there, and you better put blinders on, because I'm telling you, them girls are going to run out there to the bathroom as soon as church is over, throw them good clothes off, and put on nothing. Yeah. And I mean, son, leave no imagination. None. They remove it. So, preacher, what are you talking about? Been 29 years, Michael. 29 years. Can I be honest with you? I had one of the best meetings with God just this past week that I've had in the last 29 years of my walk with Him. He was more real to me this week in my 29th year anniversary than He was my first day. Just as real. They're a bit stagnant. People look for you to fade out. They look for you to fall away. They look for you to just kind of drift. Thank God, Miss Stephanie. I'm glad He did some renewing with me this week. 29 years. I got to go, ladies and gentlemen. I can't help but to think about this. Is Isaiah asleep? Lord have mercy. I don't wish I could sleep like that. Is Seth asleep? Where's Seth at? Is he asleep? That's fine. It's going to take something. It's going to take something. Like there's Nathan. Benjamin. Stephen. Little girls. Gracie. It's going to take something. I thought about these little boys in here this week. We got mamas and daddies. You realize that could be, I'm not just saying this, that could be the next John and Charles Wesley. Any one of them boys sitting back there, it could be the next partners in this thing. So what? They could be. Is that far-fetched? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That have never happened if they get away from God.
moms and dads going to have to stay after God. I wish you'd read about John Wesley's mom. I love that woman. I love her. Man, just reading about her, listening to her. I like her. I like the discipline that she had. I like the way she raised them boys. Amen. It's good stuff, ain't it, Michael?
I'm telling you, it's a pattern for women to follow. Women ought to get a hold of what Miss John Wesley's mama and try to follow some of them examples. Man, that was a good... Look at what she raised.
I'm telling you, thank God for that. Thank God for these boys. Thank God for these girls.
There's people that's supposed to be here today that I talked to that missed the will of God. They should be here.
And I know that. I knew that all along. God wanted them here. But what I'm trying to say, church, is what are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? What is it in life that you really want? John David, we're trying to wrap it up. Are you wanting what you want? Or you want what God? That's the whole thought when God gives you what you want. And if you read it and see what happens to these people, it's not good. The end result is not good when God gives us what we want. But when we get
after what God wants, it makes all the difference in the world. And my thought is, what is it that you want? You know what most young people do, and we got nephews and children and stuff like that. And I had nephews, Miss Janet, that went to Wake Forest and spent what $160,000+ on an education, and they're making $20,000 a year. It was amazing. Could have went for South Tech and made more than that. I'm not throwing off. I'm just saying, you got to use your senses every once in a while. But here was their goal. Their goal was this. I'm going to go to college, and Zach said it 100 times, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get out. I'm going to buy me a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. We're going to get us a nice house for X amount of dollars, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this. And I heard it over and over and over, and I'm watching it, and kids, I see them go off to school, and what are you going to school for? Well, and the whole motive behind all of it is so they can get out, make good money, and have a lot of things in life.
Ain't nothing wrong with having things. Ain't nothing wrong with making money. You know what's more precious to me than any car I've ever drove? You know what's more precious to me, Miss Debbie, than any clothes? Listen, ladies, I'm not bragging. It's just stupid. But God's blessed me. I guess. You say whatever you want to say. I've been given Brooks Brothers suits, $700 and $800 suits. I've been giving them suits over at Miss Debbie that's $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 suits. Been giving them. Here, you can have them. Go to the store and pick you out something. Shoes handed to me, shoes just cost $200 a pair, and that ain't a whole lot, but I mean, that's a lot for me. You know what means more to me than all of that? I wish y'all could meet Jenny in Florida. Little girl come out there, hair falling out of her head. What hair she's got left is full of lice. She's got sores on her. She stinks to high heavens. She's nasty. Her clothes are dirty. She's barefooted. Everything about her is repudiating. She's got a smile on her face. And she's so ready to get on that church bus. And she's so ready to just go to church. And week in and week out, you see that little girl come.
For that little girl finally one day to walk up to an altar one day
and ask God to be her Savior and to give you that testimony that she's been born again.
You say, what are you talking about God's way? Mr. Stephen, that's some of the most valuable and precious stuff in my entire life. Some of the most precious. We can go story after story after story. But I'm telling you, man, if you can reach over there a long life's way
and find you somebody that's fell among the thieves that's laying in a ditch of life and pick them up. That's worth more than all the money and all the houses and all the cars and all of this world. That's God's way. Helping others is God's way. Huh? Amen. Not fulfilling all the lust of our flesh and, man, what else can I do for me? I need something more. Lord God, things never satisfy. For some reason, we fell into the snare of prosperity being the answer to life's happiness, when in reality, it's not. True prosperity ain't laying up piles in the bank, but it's pouring out your soul to the hungry and the empty. Old Dale Morey up there Dale Morey up there in New York read out of probably one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, Isaiah 58. Go back and read it. And them people, them religious people, they set them up a fast, and boy, they shine their halos, and we're such good Christians. And the Lord looked at them and said, "Is that a fast that I chose?" And then he went down that list. He said, "Are you pouring out your soul to the hungry? Are you feeding them? Are you helping the afflicted?" Oh, no. Man, that's what it's about. Let me say this to you, church. I'm trying to compile everything. Those people that was in the wilderness, they went through a long journey. They did. Man, they was looking for the promised land. I mean, they had something. They had a goal. They was trying to attain something. You know what? Me and you's in the same boat. It's a little different terminology, but it's the same boat. And we're trying to get to God, and we're trying to reach heaven. And I mean, all those kind of things. But let me tell you something. These people sitting in this congregation, some Satan, some's lost. Let me tell you, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't fall off in the journey. Man, don't start questioning God. Just follow God. And man, whatever you know at the time, just whatever that Bible says, and whatever God sends you, just follow and obey the Word of God. Do whatever God says do. None of this other stuff matters. I know sometimes, Miss Debbie, we get in this thing, and we get in these ruts, and man, we lose focus on Jesus Christ, and we get to chasing this old world and the dreams of life and stuff like it. And man, we will miss God. And you know what? When God gives you your way, it's going to be a mess. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something to follow after God? And you sit in a church one day, and you get to see one of them children that you raised up. Man, just to proclaim the Word of God, and man, go across this country or go across them concentration camps and be able to whisper in somebody's ear something about the Lord that helped them in that time. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, great is that reward. You can read about her in Proverbs 31, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't got time to go into all that, but Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray, God, that you'd help the people. I know it's scrambled terrible, but I pray that you'd